Well, thank you so much, Dr. Stelly, for this. What can I say about your introduction? This kind, maybe generous and warm introduction. And while he was speaking, I was thinking, what may I say now? Happy Sabbath, everyone. What a privilege we have to worship our God together today. On His day and in His sanctuary, and to study His Word and to celebrate a great achievement for every student and every family member who is present here. I believe that this morning worship is an invitation for all of us to renew our commitment to place all our achievements at the foot of our Savior, and also to follow the example of Jesus in everything we think, in everything we say, in everything we do. But let me tell you something. This celebration, as Pastor Stelly already introduced, is something very special and a special blessing to me and to my family. A few years ago, I started the DMIN program in a cohort offered by Andrews University in Brazil. And you can imagine that attending the classes, that was the easiest part, as usually happened for everyone. But finding time to write the dissertation, that was the main challenge. I can hear yes, I can hear amen. I understand it very well. But now, almost 8 years after the classes began, the time has come to bring this cycle to a conclusion. It was a long period marked by changes in my job, a move to another country, and a change in the topic of my dissertation after I had already finished 2 chapters. It was a journey that consumed almost all my free time and involved many additional hours in flights, in airports, in the hotels as well. And I counted with the special support of my advisors who never tired of my many questions and requests for help. And I can imagine, after all the amens and yes, that every graduate and every family had their own story that remind us of the challenges faced and God's miracles that brought us to this moment and to this place. Miracles that can be seen and recounted by students on each of the 5 schools represented here. The College of Arts and Sciences, and we have some from this college. The College of Health and Human Services, and you have some of you coming from this college. The College of Professions, the College of Education and International Services, and the Seventh Adventist Theological Seminary. I think that this celebration also has a very international flavor. There are 43 different nationalities represented among this group of graduating students, involving all the world divisions of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. My invitation for all of you is to take full advantage of this Sabbath and this celebration to renew the spirit of gratitude that we have in our hearts. First of all, gratitude to God, because He is the one behind all that we are and everything we have. Gratitude to those who supported us through the years of our preparation. Gratitude to Andrews University and its faculty for the invaluable support that we received here. Gratitude also to our families, to our co-workers, to our friends, for all your patience, for all your love, and for all your care. May the Lord reward each of you for your special dedication. But throughout our academic journey, we have read and studied many different books and authors. But the last word today, and I believe tomorrow, will come from the Bible, the holy book that the Lord entrusted to us. As someone once said, we can visit many books, but we can only live in the Bible. I would like to invite you now to open your Bible to the first chapter of the Gospel of John. This is one of the most touching books of the New Testament. And the way John presents Jesus is a direct invitation for his readers to believe in him, to believe in Jesus. That is why the word believe appears nearly 100 times only in the Gospel of John. And the beauty of this Gospel is evident from the very first chapter and from the very first versicle or verse. In John chapter 1, verse 1, and we already heard the reading of this passage, but we can remind it now. John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was? And the Word was God." Jesus, the Word of God, is the center of the Gospel of John from the beginning to the end. Jesus, our Savior, Jesus, our older brother, Jesus, our Master, Jesus, our Lord, Jesus, the Son of David, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of Man, Jesus, the Bread of Life, Jesus, the Light of the World, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, Jesus, our Advocate, Jesus, our High Priest, Jesus, our Propitiation, Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus, the beginning and the end, Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus, the center of the Bible, Jesus, the center of the Gospels, Jesus, the center of the prophecies, Jesus, the one who was prophesied in the Old Testament, revealed in the Gospels, preached in the Acts of the Apostles, explained in the Epistles, and awaited in Revelation. Jesus, the center of history, the focus of Scripture, and the heart of our mission. Jesus, the center of our lives. Jesus, the Word of God. And then we can see one of the most remarkable verses in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1 and verse 14. We need to read this Bible verse together. I read now only the first part of the verse. John chapter 1 and verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." What was so long awaited, so prophesied, so symbolized, and so announced has now became a reality. The Word became flesh. Emmanuel, God among us. He did not come to give answers to all our life's questions. He came to be the answer. Ellen G. White paints an amazing picture of Jesus when she says that in Christ, the tenderness of the shepherd, the affection of the parent, and the matchless grace of the compassionate Savior can be seen all together. Billy Graham also describes Jesus in a remarkable way. For him, Jesus is not a superhero who falters. He is the Savior who rescues. He is not a legend. He is Lord. He is not an icon. He is the intercessor. He is not imaginary. He is infallible. He does not vanish into exile. He redeems to the end. He is not a virtual winner. He is the victor. He does not resemble hope. He is the resurrection of hope. He is not a knight in hiding. He is the coming king. But John chapter 1 and verse 14 goes beyond Christ's presence among us and his ministry of love and compassion. Just these two aspects of his life, living among us, it is a special blessing and a great source of hope for all of us. But John presents another aspect of Christ's life that can be an example for each of us. Let us go now to the verse, but we read the complete verse now. John in the Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And now the point. Full of grace and truth. Grace points to God's undeserved favor, freely given, not earned, not merited. Truth points to the reliability, reality, and fullness of that revelation. Jesus is not partial glimpse of a symbol, but a complete disclosure of God. In verse 17, John confirms that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Christ. Grace and truth. Jesus is full of grace and truth. What an amazing introduction to the two major characteristics of Christ while dwelling among us. And these two characteristics are a clear demonstration of his balance, Christ's balance. This is a great example for each of us on a day like today. A day of worship, but also a day of reflection and a day of celebration, especially for those who will be more influential after this graduation, and for all of those who bear the name of Christians. We have a huge responsibility. According to Ellen G. White, it's not the empty cup that we have difficulty in carrying. It is the cup full to the brim that must be carefully balanced. Our glasses are fully today. The titles we receive, the preparation we had for this day, and the experience that we gained in the last years gave us a great responsibility. We need to be very careful and keep the balance that Ellen G. White mentioned. And to do that, we need to follow the balance of Christ and to be full of grace and truth. Look, John doesn't present Jesus as someone who spent some time teaching grace or some time defending truth. Instead, he says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth are not two separate virtues that Jesus possessed together. Or grace and truth are not two separate virtues that Jesus just possessed by chance. Together, they describe the character of God revealed in Christ. The same God whom Moses asked to see his glory on the mountaintop in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 6. You know the story. In response to this request, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. John 1 verse 14 is the full fulfillment of Moses' request. John is clearly saying that the same God who proclaimed his name to Moses from a cloud, that God has just walked among us in flesh. What Moses begged to see, the disciples beheld, but now full of grace and truth. The word full is key for us. It shows that he was complete. He was not partial. He was complete in these two characteristics. Jesus did not come with grace and a little truth, or truth and a little grace. He came filled with both at the same time and in an inseparable way. In Jesus, they are not in tension. They are in perfect union. Jesus never had to decide whether to respond with grace or truth. In every situation, he expressed both. This is not a balance between two opposites. It is a picture of a complete character. And it is the calling of each graduate and every person in this sanctuary today. Our call it should be full of these two characteristics following the balance of Christ. This means we must take the position of servants and give to Jesus the position of Lord. Only when He is in control of our lives does this balance become possible. If it depends on us, we will choose one side and sacrifice the other, making our lives and the lives of others unhappy. When we emphasize only the truth without grace, we will only offer correction without compassion. We will be ready to give the right answers, but in the wrong spirit. In the end, people feel judged before they feel loved. The church will become a court, not a home. We will end up being like people who only have a hammer, and everything they see will look like a nail. Or perhaps by using only a sickle to pick flowers. When we emphasize only grace without truth, we only offer acceptance but without direction. We will give only comfort without transformation. Our focus will be on a love that never challenges, never calls anyone higher. In the end, sin is minimized and repentance becomes unnecessary. People may feel accepted, but they are never changed. The church becomes a social club rather than the people of God. A lack of the balance of Jesus will lead us away from His plans. Please think with me. In the church, if the church is full of grace but not true, it's like a hospital that only comforts without diagnosing. It's not real care. If the church is full of truth but not grace, it's like a hospital that only diagnoses without treating. It's not real care either. We cannot forget that grace without truth is too light, and truth without grace is too heavy. Grace without truth becomes sentimentally. Truth without grace becomes condemnation. The incarnation in John's answer is to every theology that tries to pull them apart. Grace and truth must be the two lungs of the church. The church cannot breathe well with only one lung. Remove one, and the spiritual life will suffer. But before continuing, perhaps we need to understand better what grace means. Grace is not weakness. Grace is not silence in face of sin. Grace is not lowering the standard to make people feel comfortable. Grace is God choosing to come close when He had every reason to stay away. He did not observe humanity from a distance. He dwelt among us. He entered our world, our pain, our limitations. Speaking of Jesus' powerful grace, Ellen G. White reminds us that we did not seek after it. It was sent in search of us. Praise God, because grace never does things halfway. Jesus, full of grace, represents a life of love and service to others. Think of Jesus. The crowds did not just follow Him. They wanted to be where He was. When Jesus left a place, it was never to escape people. He left so He could return to them. Grace prepares the way to make transformation possible. Grace is not something we can offer from a position of superiority. It is offered and practiced on the same level of relationship. I can assure you that the grace we give to others will never exceed the grace we already received. And what about the truth? What does truth mean? Truth is not cruelty with a theological justification. Truth is not criticism dressed up as the truth. Truth is not the right to say whatever you think because you are standing for principles. If a person cannot stand for principles while reflecting the character of Jesus, it would be better to just sit down. A Seventh-day Adventist, as the Seventh-day Adventist, we are called to proclaim the truth of God's Word, the everlasting gospel of Revelation 14 presented in the three angels' messages. We must not lose sight of this calling or distance ourselves from it. We have no doubt that this is the present truth. It is God's message for this time. It is the call to prepare the world to the second coming of Jesus. The truth does not depend on our interpretation. We do not have the authority to water it down and make it more appealing for our times. Our role is to honor it, to strengthen it, and to proclaim it. If you look closely, Christian values and the truth have been deconstructed throughout history. If we take only the main points of our prophetic interpretation as the basis, we can easily see how truth is being deconstructed and how dangerous it is. As you already know, in the Garden of Eden, truth was our guide. In the temptation of Adam and Eve, truth was questioned. Centuries later, papal Rome tried to modify truth. Later, the French Revolution proclaimed the destruction of the truth. And closer to our time, postmodernism began to proclaim that everyone has their own truth. And today, in a phase known as post-truth, what we can see is intolerance toward the truth of others. Our role is to strengthen the truth at a time when it is the worst phase of this process of deconstruction. It has been violently destroyed in the past, and it seemed almost impossible to defend it. But today, it is being destroyed without many of us even realizing it. When we look at the process of deconstruction of the truth and where we stand now, the natural question is, what will the next phase be? It's clear that we are on the path of human destruction, and it will happen through no other means than human beings destroying themselves. This is because many people have lost the ability to defend the truth with the balance of Christ. Our greatest tragedy is to know the truth but fail to recognize the center of the truth. Now more than ever, we need the balance of Christ to move forward together, full of grace and truth. Please don't forget that truth informs the mind, grace opens the heart, and Jesus was full of both, just as we should be. It is essential to observe the order in which John presented the balance of Jesus. He talks about grace and truth, not truth and grace. Do you know why? Because truth tells us where we stand, but grace gives us hope. Truth exposes our needs, but grace meets our needs. Truth diagnoses, but grace heals. The Gospels present four encounters that show us how grace and truth can be exactly together. In John chapter 4, we can find the first encounter: Jesus and the woman at the well. This is a model of what the combination of grace and truth means. You know the story. Jesus crossed every barrier to reach the Samaritan woman. He did not begin with her sin. He began with her thirst. He moved toward truth gradually, with respect. By the time he named her situation, she was ready to hear it. She left that conversation and became the first evangelist in Samaria. Grace opened the door. Truth changed her life. This is the sequence that works. In John chapter 8, we find the second encounter. That was the encounter with the woman accused of adultery. A moment of tension between grace and truth. You know the story as well. The scribes and the Pharisees confronted Jesus with truth. The law was technically correct, but they used the law, the truth, as a weapon, not a bridge. Jesus knelt down, a posture of grace, not superiority. And his words to them were remarkable. He who is without sin among you, and you know it, let him throw a stone at her first. It is amazing to see how grace and truth were together, showing the balance of Christ again. You can see grace in his words, neither do I condemn you. But you can see truth when he said, go and sin no more. The order matters. Grace first creates the truth that makes truth possible to receive. In Luke chapter 19, we can find the third encounter. Jesus encountered Zacchaeus. A point in time when grace and truth produced transformation. You know, Jesus invited himself into Zacchaeus' home before Zacchaeus changed. Grace came first, before repentance and before transformation. That grace then transformed Zacchaeus into a different man, because grace did not lower the standard. Grace made the truth accessible, desirable, and possible. In John chapter 21, we find the fourth encounter, the unforgettable encounter between Jesus and Peter after the resurrection. That was the moment when grace and truth produced restoration. You remember when Peter denied Jesus three times, Jesus restored him with grace, but also gave him a new responsibility. Grace restored him, but truth redirected him. Jesus did not choose to offer grace or to offer truth. He offered both because both were needed. It's amazing to see the balance of Christ always full of grace and truth. As a modern extension of Jesus' ministry, the Seventh-day Adventist Church shares the same call to keep the balance between grace and truth. The Adventist Church was born with a prophetic message. Truth is central to our identity. We were never called to be a comfortable church without convictions, but we were also never called to be a cold church that uses truth to push people away. The antidote to both is always the same: grace and truth held together. The combination of grace and truth is not only special to the church, but is also vital to us as individuals, as family members, and especially for all of us graduates. We are leaving Andrews University with our diplomas, but also with the truth. It was very well taught and very well learned here. The question now is not what we know, but in what spirit we'll carry this truth forward. Every degree we received is a tool. A tool can build or destroy, depending on the hands that hold it. Ellen G. White is straightforward when she states that man may profess faith in the truth, but if it does not make them sincere, kind, patient, forbearing, heavenly-minded, it is a curse to its possessors, and through their influence, it is a curse to the world. What a powerful words. In any area of service, it's necessary to maintain a balance between grace and truth. The pastor who knows the theology but preaches without compassion, it's not doing the best ministry. The educator who knows the subject but has no patience for the struggling student is not teaching at the highest level. The health professional who administers the right medication at the right time but never pauses to hold the hand of a fearful patient has mastered the procedure but failed to master presence. The physical therapist who knows all the protocols but makes the patient endure suffering without listening to their pain is hearing the body while neglecting the person. The laboratory scientist who delivers accurate results but never remembers that behind it there is a person waiting in fear is doing science without humanity. The therapist who knows all the diagnostic, all the categories, but sits before a suffering soul without genuine human kindness is practicing a science without its most essential tool. The computer scientist who writes brilliant code but never asks who will be helped or named or harmed by his work has placed intelligence above responsibility. And the musician who plays with technical perfection but performs without a genuine connection to the listener has produced sound but not music. In any profession or academic achievement, we need to hold on the balance of Christ and always, always be full of what? Grace and truth. Andrews University has contributed to our intellectual development. Now, Jesus wants to shape our character. Our degrees will open doors, but only a Christ-like character will change lives. The world already has many intelligent people. It desperately needs people who are full of grace and truth. The world where we will apply what we learned is not short of information. It's short of grace. It's short of people willing to speak truth without contempt. It's short of voices that are both loving and honest. Today's culture often separates what Jesus united. Some emphasize acceptance above everything else. Others emphasize conviction above everything else. Society tells us we must choose only one of them. Jesus never chose just one side. He embraced both. Completely. We are not leaving this place with our diplomas only to show kindness, nor only to defend truth. We are being sent to reveal Jesus, and wherever Jesus is present, grace and truth remain together. Our call is to build bridges, and a bridge needs two anchor points to stand. If we remove one, the bridge falls. Grace is one anchor, and truth is the other. No matter what your background or area of expertise is, you must be the bridge between grace and truth, and invite people to walk across that bridge to find Jesus. This is the heart of our mission. And I want to remind you of a beautiful saying. Probably you know it. There is always a little perfume. Let me start again. There is always a little perfume left on the hands of those who give out roses. I repeat it. There is always a little perfume left on the hands of those who give out roses. The greatest compliment anyone could ever receive is to hear, "I met someone who remind me of Jesus." Not because of a remarkable knowledge, not because of endless accommodation, but because, like Christ, they were full of grace and truth. In November 2017, a painting was sold at Christie's auction house in New York for $450 million. That was the highest price ever paid for a work of art. The painting was purchased on behalf of the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Well, you might be thinking, what kind of painting is so expensive? It was a portrait of Jesus Christ. It is called Salvator Mundi, or the Savior of the World. Leonardo da Vinci painted it around the year 1500. The painting was expected to be displayed at the Louvre, Abu Dhabi, but it never was. Since the day it was sold, it has not been publicly exhibited once. It is believed to be in a storage somewhere in the Saudi Arabia, a portrait of the Savior of the World, worth nearly $500 million, hidden from the world, it was painted to proclaim. Someone possesses a spectacular treasure and is hiding it. Dear colleagues, Andrews University staff, brothers and sisters, will leave this place today and for the graduates tomorrow, carrying a portrait far more valuable than Salvator Mundi. We carry the image of Jesus. The question is not whether we have it. The question is whether we'll hide it. The world does not need another painting locked in a vault. It needs a man, a woman who walk into churches and classrooms, hospitals and offices, kitchens and communities, courts and prisons, showing what Jesus looks like. Truth that does not destroy, and grace that does not deceive. Truth that names what is broken, and grace that refuses to abandon the broken one. Please, do not hide the portrait. The Savior of the world is still waiting to be seen, and he has chosen to be seen through you and through me, through each of us. Let us go and be this kind of people, full of grace and full of truth, because the world is waiting for us, and this mission now is in our hands. May God bless you.